Appreciate your prayers. I'd like to look at a verse in fourth chapter of Proverbs. The 23rd verse says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And I know that's a familiar scripture to all of us. And I don't think there's anyone here that would give this passage even a little bit of thought that would argue that it's not true. We see the truth of it, don't we? That out of the heart are the issues of life. Isn't that where everything that, every response that we have, there is issues of life? Isn't there a daily flow of issues of life? Everything that we respond to, all of our issues, comes from our heart in the way that we respond to them. So the scripture says, keep your heart with all diligence, because it's going to make a big difference in the way you live your life. It's going to make a big difference in the way you see what your worldview is. It's going to make a difference in how you see the people around you. It'll make a difference in the way you respond to the adversities that come into life. I have seen things, unfortunately, that have destroyed people's lives that started out in such a small way that seemed meaningless, that tore families apart, that they would maybe not talk with one another the rest of their life. I can give you an example. Several years ago, there was a, much like this year, there was a, it was a political year and a presidential year, and my dad and one of his brothers, my uncles, I knew them to be very close all of their life. And if you would have said to me that they would have split over anything, I would have said, They wouldn't do it. They wasn't that type. They didn't seem to be that type. And an offhanded comment. My uncle, he's dead and gone now, but my uncle liked Ross Perot. You remember him? You know who Ross Perot is? He liked Ross Perot. And he said that he liked Ross Perot. And my dad made an offhanded comment that I think he's nuts. So just something to that effect, that just, I think he's a little nuts or something like that. And do you know that drove a wedge between them that lasted all of their rest of their life? I used to say, well, what happened? And Dad said, that was all that happened. I just said that Ross Perot was a little kooky, or I thought he was or something. And he took offense to it, and he took it as that was a slap at him. Or how could you like somebody like? It was an offhanded comment. Do you know somebody might make an offhanded comment about you? The scripture says to keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it will be the issues of life. And the way you respond and what you do with what comes out of your heart, the way you respond to things, what you do in life. Do you realize that there's things out there? And I want to particularly talk to the young people a little bit tonight, and I don't normally pick young people out, but I have a burden towards that way, because you have a lot of decisions to make in your life as you grow up. You're going to have decisions to make, and I want to recommend to you that you do what the scripture says and keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it's going to come the issues of life. And if you don't keep your heart now and you end up being married, you're going to have a lot of problems in your marriage, because you're not able to keep your heart. Because there'll be things that pull on you. I've seen sisters break up over an heirloom that mom had, and when she passed, I've seen this happen. I've seen things happen, and there was this picture, and they split up over that pit. Six sisters Is aren't sisters supposed to be closer than a picture? I mean, couldn't they have at least said, you take it a while, I'll take it a while, or you have it, no sister, you have it, or what difference does it really make? But if you don't keep your heart, the issues of life comes out of our hearts, and it'll make a big difference in the way we live our lives. So as the scripture says, keep your heart with all diligence. That's a particular effort. That's not just haphazard. That's me saying, I am going to make a point that I keep my heart. Now you all may say, now Brother Marty, I don't know about that. You know what I've told my dad about? He don't have a lot. But you know what I told my dad? Give all of it to my brother. I would rather give it to my brother than have a problem with it. I've got the Lord. I've got things in my life. The Lord takes care of me. I don't need those things. I would rather that happen than there be anything in my heart. So I've already taken care. I've diligently took care of that in my heart. I don't have my hands on anything like, I don't have my heartstrings on any of that. But I'm taking care of that with a diligent effort. I don't want there to be anything there in my heart. So Lord, help us. Let's look at another passage in Psalms. The 109th Psalm. In the 17th verse. It says, as he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessings, so let it be far from him. You know, this is a fearful scripture. Because I look around at the world today and see the multitudes of people that love the curse. Why are we so quickly to run towards the curse? I see our nation turning towards the curse and not to the blessing. Why is it so attractive to be a liar? Why is it so prevalent to be a thief and a murderer? Where is the integrity that we should have? Why do our multitudes flock towards the undressed, the unholy, the drug, the drink? Why does our country run to the filthy, the rap songs? The filthier it is, the more attractive it seems to be. Why are people loving the curse? Do you know what loving the curse is going to do? It's going to bring it to you. That's what this scripture says. He loves the curse, so let it come. He delighted not himself in the blessing, then let the blessing be far from him. God wants to bless us. But if we don't want the blessing, then we want the curse. The Lord's going to withhold the blessing, and what's going to come is the curse, and I marvel at it. I think there's enough evidence, young people, listen to me. There's enough evidence to say to you that smoking is bad. It's going to wreck your health. It's got talons to it that's going to get into you, and it's going to control you and not you it. It's bad to do. Well, why then do people do it? But why do people lean towards that? I want to encourage us not to lean towards the cursed thing, because if we do, that's the thing that we're going to. That's the thing that we're going to have. We ought to love integrity, to be honorable, to be clean and pure in thought and deeds, to be able to look our fellow man in the eye and not owe them anything. Now, I like to tell this from time to time. It was an experience that I had, and I've had a lot of battles in my life and times that the Lord needed to teach me some things about the gospel, and I'm glad that he has and that he has done it. Years ago, I had an Oldsmobile, a 79 Oldsmobile, and it got till it wasn't that good of a car. I ended up getting another car, and I had this car, and I'll do with it, I'll sell it. And I thought, well, it's worth about $400. So I decided I was going to sell it for $400. And so this guy comes along, and he wants to buy my car. And how much do you want for it? Well, I think $400 is a fair price. And he says, well, I'll give you $400 for it. Okay, good. Okay, I sold my car. But I have not got $400. I think it was $175. I'll pay you the rest, he said. Oh, I'm sitting thinking, oh, now do I really want to do that? You know, I'm kind of round, and he said, I'll pay you Friday. Well, okay. Now you pay me Friday. Yeah, done the transaction, the whole deal. I never saw him on Friday. He never come back around on Friday. Or the next Friday. Or I never saw him after. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. And I was getting pretty upset about that. Well, do I not have a right to? A guy owed me money, right? I got a right to have some feelings over that. There's some feelings. Well, you know, I run into the guy finally. After a while, I run into him early one morning. I'm in a Go-Mart, a quick store. I go in, and he's right in front of me in the line. And I said, oh, boy, I wonder what this is going to be like. Right in front. And when he pays, he turns around, and he looks me right in the face. And he says, I'm going to pay you Friday. That's the first thing he said. He drops his head. I'm going to pay you Friday. Well, you didn't pay. You were supposed to pay me, and you didn't pay me. Well, I'm going to pay you Friday, he says. And, okay, pay me Friday then. And Friday come, Friday went. The guy never came. He never paid me any money. And I needed that money. I wanted that money. I'm starting to get myself going, worked up about it. And I run into him again. Same situation again. Right in front of me. Turns around again and looks right at me again. You know, he couldn't look me in the eye. He drops his head and I'm going to pay you Friday. And we went through the same thing again about this. Except for I'm getting worked up more about it. Because he ain't paying me. What's my step? What's my alternative? Well, how am I going to do this? You know what I did? I went and asked the Lord about it. Lord, how do I respond? Now, how do I respond? I know what old Marty would have done. Either pay me or take it out here. And then you'll pay me. Now, paying's not an option. You know what I mean? Something's got to do here. But that's not the way. Now I'll start talking to the Lord about it. And you know what the Lord told me? I'm like, really, Lord? Forgive him. How am I going to have victory, Lord? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get the money out of him? Forgive him. Now, surely that's not the answer. Forgive him? You mean my rest of my money, my $425? I don't remember if he paid me $425 or $225. Maybe he paid me and he owed me $175. But he owed me money. And and you know what I did? I kept my heart. And I didn't choose to curse. I didn't choose the curse. I could have chose the curse. And I'm sure I would have had an enemy up there in my hometown today over it. But you know what I decided to do when the Lord told me to forgive? I chose the blessing. It didn't make total sense to me, but when God tells you to do it, and God is saying, I have a cattle on 1,000 hills. I can take care of that and pay it back for you. You're a child of mine. Why are you so wrapped up over that? That you would have that kind of an act? Lord, I'll forgive him. And you know, the Lord gave me the exact same opportunity. I'm behind him again. Right behind him in line. And he turns around and says to me, I'm going to pay. And I said, you're forgiven. Don't worry about it. It's done. Now, I know you may be saying, but what about the money? Do you know I got something that was more valuable than money? I got a release. I got a blessing. The blessings of the Lord was on me. I didn't choose the curse of this world. I chose the blessing of this world, and it's worked out for me that I'm blessed in my soul. I've got peace in my soul. I left there saying, thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that answer. Because I was able to rise above it by your grace, and I thank you for it. Because I could have chose the curse, and those that love the curse will follow them. Then that's what the curse will be, returned and returned and returned. And that's why I want to say to the young people, choose the blessing. Don't choose the curse. Don't delight in the blessing. The good things that God wants to do, it's far better than money. It's far better than gold and rubies and jewels. It's far better than those things. The grace of God is. The good things of the Lord is much, much better than that. I'll tell on myself again. There was a time that the boss come to me and said, Marty, I got a job here. I underbid it. And it's tight. Now, we don't have any leeway on this job. If we're going to make anything and not come out in the hole with it, it's going to have to be an efficient job. So me and the crew went out one day, and it was one of those days that nothing worked very well. And to be honest with you, I knew that there was a lot of fooling around with the crew, and I was the chief on the crew, which means I was the one fooling around. I knew that. I knew that I hadn't performed it the way I should have performed it. Well, the next morning when we come in and the boss is over the desk looking at the day before's work, just sitting there thinking, what's this? And I come in and all the men's around there and the ones that I was worked with were there. And he said, well, come here. What was you all doing? What'd you do? And you know what? It was so smooth. I was able to tell him some things that kind of left him, I'm not sure that he knew what I was saying, but he didn't know what not to say. And he was kind of like, oh, I mean, and I turned around from it thinking, and the Lord spoke to me. You're going to leave that like that? That's what you're going to do? If you love the curse, you're going to get the curse. It's going to come back on you. You're not going to live without it. They that sow to the wind will reap the whirlwind. And when we sow to corruption, we will reap corruption. And when we sow to the curse is going to come back to us. I turned back around, and with the men that I worked with, and it was so humiliating to go up to the boss and say, I'm sorry. I fooled around yesterday, and I did not do my job like I should have done it, and I'm sorry for it. And you know, it was I felt about this big, but I sure went home better that day than what I would have if I hadn't. And I chose the blessing. And you know what? I had my boss trusted me. He trusted me. He could give me things because he trusted me after that, because I was reaping the blessings of God. Lord, help us today. There is a choice laid before us. I want to look at this scripture. Look with me over in Deuteronomy. The 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. The 17th verse says, but if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go and possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I set before you life and death, a decision, blessings and cursings. I set them before you this day. Choose which one you want. People act like in our world that there's no consequences to the act of choosing the curse. I want to tell you that today and the uptick in violence that we're seeing is nothing more than a result of choosing the curse that's in this world. The choosing the lower part of it, the base part of it, the fleshly part of it, to pick that. The violence that's being shown in our world, the uptick in the shooting of police officers, and the uptick in violent crimes, and the uptick in abuse of children, and the abuse of that's all of that is a result of, Lord help us to be wise here and understand what's going on. We're not immune to it. If we don't keep our hearts with all diligence, we're going to be in the same stream that they're in. We're going to be affected by the same thing. I know what you may think. I don't have to go that way. I can smoke a cigarette and not get hooked. I can have a drink and not become an alcoholic. But I'll say to this, then why do they become addicted then? Why do they become alcoholics? Does somebody choose to be an alcoholic? I remember when I was in school, you used to come around every year and we'd put this, and the teacher would ask us, what do you want to be when you grow up? And we'd write it. I never was really serious about anything. I'd write down there sometimes, oh, we'll be a farmer. I remember one time a friend of mine said, I'd like to be a fireman. And I said, well, it'd be good. We could fireman together. And I wrote it down on mine. I'd like to be a fireman. Another time, one of them said, hey, it'd be neat to be a doctor. Doctor, it'd be good. Write it down. No, I've done several things. I didn't write down a preacher ever. I'm going to tell you that. I didn't write that down. We wrote a lot of different things. But one thing I surely didn't write down was a drug addict. I never wrote down that I want to be an alcoholic when I grow up. I want to be a pervert. I want to be something out there. I know nobody ever writes that. Why would they? Then how do they get there? They make a choice in their life because it's set before us to choose in life what I'm going to do it. Well, how many people do you know that says, I'm going to get married so I can, in a few years, I can hate her and we'll get a divorce and then fight the rest of our life? Whoever says such a thing as that, then how do they get there? They get there because they don't keep their heart. They allow their heart to be touched by the things around there and they choose the curses of life. They choose the things that's the base thing. They choose to do things. They choose things that has influences on their life that they don't think that can influence their life. And yet the scriptures is telling us they'll influence your life. There is things that will touch you and bother you. And you don't know what you are and what you can be. You're not fully in control like you think you are. I am convinced that there is people out there that says, that have some understanding of God. And there's people out there that would say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven and I want to be saved before I leave this world. I want to have contact with God before I leave this world. And they mean it when they say it. And I'm always wondering them when they say it. You better do that while you can feel that. You better do it while you can think that. Because there's no evidence or no guarantee that the years will roll by and you'll lose that notion altogether and you won't feel like you want to be in contact with God. Could it possibly be? Sister Maxine, have you ever seen anybody come down to death and you would say, why wouldn't they want the Lord? They're about to die. They believe in God. Why don't they want the Lord? And they never make a move towards God and are willing to go right on down and die and never seek God for the salvation of their eternal soul. Why? Because it went too far. They chose the curse in their life and the curse erased the ability for them to have that kind of thoughts towards God. And now they don't have those kind of thoughts anymore. The thought or the idea that I want to be saved is long gone out of it. Well, you think we can do this on our own? It's the work of God. And Lord help us. We choose. This world is choosing. I have a burden, a continual burden on my heart for the young people of this world. Because I look at it and see such a horrific world that we're going to. One that's erased God off the picture as much as they possibly can. And what God has left is not a personal God that helps us in life, but it's kind of a God that's out there somewhere that we can use if we want to. Kind of a rabbit's foot type thing. There is a God somewhere type attitude. And as much as they can, they do away with it altogether. To think that our country, a nation like ours, should get to the place that they'll actually taking down the Ten Commandments because they're bad? Which one of them is bad? Is it thou shalt not commit adultery? That's bad? Which one of them is it that you can't stand to have up there? But yet our world is arguing, get them down, it's not fair. Lord help us. They're choosing the curse. And more we're going to see the results of that, and more we should make sure that I keep my heart, that I have the right things in my heart coming out, that I'm not choosing the curse. And Lord, I don't want the curse to come upon my family. Now, you can take this for what it's worth, but I believe it. And I'm not going to say I can prove, or I'm not going to say I'm going to prove it with the scriptures at this point, but I'm going to say this. I believe that there is a certain amount of power and authority that God gives. I believe that there is a natural authority that God gives in His work. I believe that a man that desires to raise a family in the fear of the Lord has an authority of his father. I think the father authority's on that. And I think that if a man starts messing around with that and he starts doing things he oughtn't do, that he can allow things into his house through the spirits because he's let his authority go. And that thing, those things can affect the home. And he starts, where did that come from? Where is this coming from? What's that element coming from? It's because he's loving the curse. And the curse is going to come back home. You ever hear the expression, the chickens is coming home to roost? You ever hear that expression? Well, I happen to have some chickens. And I want to tell you, these chickens know where their roost is at. And when I'm home, evening's about 6 o'clock or so, or before dark, I'll go out and I'll let them free range for a while. I'll come out and I don't have to go in and try to run the chickens in. All I got to do is go close the door. And when I look in a lot of times, I'll look in and just see them. It's amazing how this picture looks like it's the same picture every night. It seems like each chicken goes right back to the same spot every time I look in. And do you know what? The chickens go home to roost. They know where they're supposed to go. They do it automatically. It's time to go roost. They go back to the roost. All I got to do is go close the door and close the gate. And they're insecure and they go home to roost. But so it is with the choices that we make in our life too. They will come back to roost on us. You ever hear the expression, you made the bed, you're going to have to lie in it? Lord, help us to keep our hearts. Oh, I think of some of the tragedies. Would tell my children as they grow up, especially my boys, son, don't go out there and die for nothing. Don't go out there and just give your life over to the enemy and die. Don't frivolously throw your life away. I remember a young man I heard about over in my hometown. He 17 years old, he had a vehicle and he got caught speeding and he was going to football practice. And so the coach wanted to try to correct him and help him out in life and said, no, you can't do that and be a part of the team, and made him run extra laps and done all that kind of try to correct him and get him into there. And the young man didn't hardly want to listen, didn't want to be hard-headed. And they was going to a banquet and most of the football players was in a bus and he was in his truck and he was behind the bus. And the ones that witnessed said he was upset over the coach making him run laps and all that. So he went rip-roaring around the bus and round through there. He went at a high speed. And when he got getting around the bus, and another car was coming the other way, and he had to get in quick, and he overplayed it and went off the road. And then he overplayed it coming back, and he rolled the truck, and he went rolling 9 times down the in his. And he gave his peers the privilege of seeing him foolishly throw his life away in the middle of Route 20 in Webster County. Died right there at 17 years old in the middle of the road. Why die, young man? Well, I know God is ultimately in control of those things, but when you love the curse, you'll reap it. It'll come back. Time and time again, it'll come back. Lord, help us today that we don't choose that life, but that we choose the blessings. He said in this passage, he said, I'm going to set before you life and death. Life and death. I'm gonna set before you peace and tranquility and fighting and upheaval. Can't we say that? I'm gonna set before you a peaceful habitation. Lord, help us. I see it go down through the generations. Seen a situation to where I saw these young children being raised. And if I can paint this picture for you, the mom and dad were at odds with one another, and they fought a lot, and in my mind, night after night, different times that in the middle of the night, these little faces was pressed up to a window, looking outside into the parking area of a trailer court, looking out there with the blue lights a flashing and people fighting and struggling out in the parking lot, and the police trying to break them up, and the screaming and the squalling, and these little faces with their eyes big looking out the window, looking at that over and over. You look at that and you think, surely they'll grow up and want better. Oh, but that's not the way the curse works. Oh, I can, and I saw this happen, and I saw these dear children turn to young people, and I seen these young people, and I saw the way they began to start acting and chasing the world and choosing the curse, choosing the drugs, choosing the smoke, choosing their lifestyle. And then it wasn't long, and I shook my head and said, I knew it was coming. I already knew it. I saw it. I saw it before. I've heard it before. I got the word. Yeah, this girl, one of them was a little girl. She grows up. She has a baby out of wedlock, and all of a sudden into a guy she's with, and all of a sudden now there's a new little face in the window looking outside, and now the cops are called, and they're screaming and fighting outside, and now there's another generation and another curse, and there's a little child looking out the window at mom and dad out there fighting. Here goes again. Over and over we choose the curse. But God said, I'll set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. That's what we want? Really? That's the highest that we can get? That's what we want in life? We're not made to be animals. God created us in His own image. We don't have to be run by the animal instincts that we have. We don't have to be like a dog or a hog that would root his little brother out would starve him to death because he has to eat all he can eat at his expense. We don't have to live like that and be animals. God created us to be in the image of God, to walk in integrity and honor, to be able to not only not root our brother out of the feed trough, but be willing to die for him. Isn't that a better life? Isn't it more honorable? Don't we think higher of somebody that would give their life? It ain't all bad. I've seen the other side. You may say it was foolish, but oh, how much admiration I have for it. First time I ever went to Miami for meeting, went down there, and brother and sister Baxter's little girls, the day we got down there was the day it happened. They was playing along a canal bank. They was little, very little, and they couldn't swim, and one of the little girls fell into the canal. The canals run about 30 feet deep down there. There isn't any bank to crawl up either. They're pretty straight up and down. One of the little girls falls in. The story was that the next little girl jumped in to try to get the one. Neither one of them could swim. The other children was screaming because these children had fell into this canal and was drowned. And it was a neighbor man that come run. And he dove into the canal, rescued one of the little girls, got her out. And then he dove down and tried his best to rescue that other little girl. And he couldn't do it. And the little girl died. And the man died trying. That man died. He drowned there in that canal trying to get that little girl. And I've said, as long as I'm preaching, I'll mention him. I never met him. I don't know him. But when he done that, I'd said, oh, I'd say he had children. That man must have had children. They come back and told me he had 5 children of his own. He left those 5 children, but with a brave heart, he tried to save somebody else's child. I honor him for it, because in a world where nobody cares for anybody and we're all out to just get how admirable it was for that man. I appreciate it. I'm glad that it was, because I'm going to tell you, there was one that made it till we don't have to live the curse of this life, because he decided to do what that man had decided, and because he wasn't guilty, he paid the price for us, and he hung on the cross that we and you could have the blessing. He made it till we don't have to live like hogs and dogs and animals. He made it till we can live in the image of God and have right thoughts. And when we have the temptation not to, there's the grace of God that gives us the power to overcome those kind of things, that we can live uprightly. And that the scripture in Isaiah that says there is a way, there's a highway. A highway's built up above all those things. There's a highway to walk on. It's not, it's for a wayfaring. It's for somebody that's gone somewhere and got an image of something. Lord, help us. Pick the blessing that the Lord has, not the curse. I'm going to tell you, I'm not condemning everything. But most of the entertainments of this that comes out of this world is cursed. Don't try to put a blessing on adulterous behavior. And I can sing that and I can enjoy that and it's not me. It's a curse. It's a curse to our world. It tears families up. It ruins people's lives. And then the next generation comes and don't even know any better how to do it than the first one did. Lord help. And Lord help us. Because, like I say, most of it is a part of the cursed things. I set before you this day life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. There's another scripture I want to refer to. Maybe I won't read so much of it, but you can read it. It's in 7th chapter of Joshua, I believe. And it was the story after the children of Israel had had the great victory at Jericho. You remember? They had went over and faced Jericho, and God gave them a great victory. And they was obedient to the word of the Lord, and he told them to walk around the city one time a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, I believe it was six times they walked around it, and the seventh day they was to be quiet the whole time, and then on the seventh time they was to shout and blow the trumpet and all that, and the Lord gave them the victory. Oh, great, what a thing the Lord did. The Lord had promised them that he would fight their battles for them. He also told them when he went into the Jericho to not touch the accursed thing. There's something there that you better leave alone. Leave it alone. Don't touch that thing. Don't get that thing. Because it's accursed. Well, the story is that there's a man named Achan. And while they was in the process of the Jericho, he runs into a Babylonian garment. And he took the garment. And it was the accursed thing. It was something that God had said, don't touch that thing. Now, I know, and the idea you think, well, how could a piece of cloth be cursed? There's figures in the scriptures, things that we get likenesses off of, that we can get a hold of and understand. This was a Babylonian garment. This was something that God said, this thing's accursed. If you take that, you think God was just saying that because God likes to make rules and this will just test them. And there was more to it than that. If you start dealing in these things in this world, it's going to corrupt your whole society. God said, don't do that. Because when you start down that line of every man going in there and coveting his own things and taking those kind of things that the world has, you're going to corrupt the society that I'm going to make for you. I'm going to give you a peaceful habitation. I want to do for you something to where you don't have to have the struggles like the world around you does. I'm going to give you something better than that. Achan took that Babylonian garment. You remember then after that they went to fight this little place called Ai, and they went to fight it, and they went out there and they said, well, we don't need that many men to go fight that little place. We'll just send a few. And they went out there and the men of Ai turned them back, killed 30 some of them, and they sent the rest of them back. And now they come, and now what's this all about? We've come into this land by the promise of the Lord that we were going to conquer it, and God gave us this land, and now we're turning our backs to the first little fellow that we run into. What's this all about? And the Lord said, there's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. There's something cursed in the camp. What option is there? You know, when we We like to preserve things at home. We like to can and do certain things. You know, there's a process involved in that. When you're trying to preserve something, you've got to kill all of the bad stuff out. And you can't introduce it back in. You've got to be able to seal it against bacteria. That's why you heat up. That's why you will have our pressure canner, and whatever we're doing, we'll do it at high heats, and then the lid seals on it, and the stuff in there has been all killed, and the bacteria is not living, and it can't get back in, and it will last for years because there's nothing in it that can spoil it. And this is what God was trying to preserve them from, something that was going to corrupt them. So now it's already in, and now Israel has been infected. There's an infection in there now. Somebody has taken something, and this thing's going to grow. Let it go. Can I tell you something about our country? It's getting corrupt. Now, I'm not advocating anything, and violence is something that I never approve of. But I fear sometimes that the only thing that's going to be left is violence when it corrupts so much. Lord, help us. Well, I think God will preserve us in any kind of a world, unless we choose the curse, unless we start embracing the things that God said, leave alone. Get that out of your life. Don't even play around with that thing, because if you do, it's going to curse your life. Young people, this isn't pretend. These things will curse your life. Dishonesty will curse your life. Unfaithfulness will curse your life. The entertainments of this world is going to curse your life. Undress and chasing the world is going to curse your life. We don't want your life to be cursed. We want you to have a happy existence. We want you to have a happy home, a happy family, somewhere where there can be God as the center and you can trust one another. That's what we want. You choose the curse, you won't have those things. Over and over, I've seen it. I've seen young people come up that turn away. I said before you. But over and over, I see young people come up and say, and almost like, I know what's happened to those before, but I'm going to do it anyway, and it won't happen to me. And young woman falls in love with young man, and young man falls in love with young woman, and they think that they can introduce anything into their lives they want, and they're going to be a happy couple for the rest of their life. It don't work that way. When corruption's in there, it'll corrupt out that elements out of there, and then there'll be mistrust in there. Then there's going to be fraudulent things in there, and then you lied to me, and those things are going to be working and work in there, and the people think they can put anything. I've seen it come down to it, and they say, oh, we need to work on a marriage and have the preacher come in, and I'll do everything but serve the Lord, but bring the preachers in anyway, and we'll get counsel and all at the same time. I'm thinking, well, what can you say? Can you say to them, get your filthy videos out of your house or you're not going to go anywhere? You got an accursed thing in you that's infecting your mind. You can't see things right. I'm going to tell you, it's well known. I remember it when I grew up this way. And so soap operas, daily soap operas, I never did see one of those guys on them soap operas that had coal dust on his face like I used to come home with grit and sweat and sawdust, and I didn't smell good either. Working all day was always foul. Come home like that. That's a make-believe world, folks. And it affects things. It's cursed. It's not real. And yet, it runs after. What's the matter with our marriages? And now, even Christianity, so-called, is over 50% divorce rate. You know why? They got an accursed thing in there. Get those things out. Get them out of your life and serve the Lord. And I guarantee you there's nothing boring or there's nothing raw. I mean, this is a great life. It's a peaceful life. Some of my best moments is when I can build a fire on a cold night in my fireplace and have the children playing games around me and know that there's peace and tranquility. I haven't cheated anybody. There's no policeman after me. I don't owe anybody anything. I can look anybody in the eye and know that I love them and have goodwill towards them. And I have that kind of a life. Because I chose the blessing and the blessing returns. But you choose the curse and the curse returns too. And then what happens to Achan? And now why? Why? It makes no sense, and neither does anything in the world. Achan was forbidden to get the accursed thing and he got it. And what could he do with it? I've always marveled at that. What would he ever do with it? He hid it in the floor of his tent because nobody could see it. Now, what good is a garment that nobody will ever see? You can't wear it. I guess in the still of the night, you could dig it out and put it on and prance around in it and feel good. What point would any of it be to hide that in there? You can never, ever use it. But it isn't any more ridiculous than the things that people put in their life now that ruins their life. And God said, told Joshua, Joshua got down and was begging the Lord, and the Lord said, Joshua, get off your face. Would God mislead you? Would God break a promise? I didn't break my promise. Joshua, you all did. There's sin in the camp. Now, what are we going to do about it? Now, this is the type of the Old Testament. What are we going to do about it? You know, there was a zero toleration in the scriptures when it comes to sin. The people that say it otherwise, I don't know what Bible they're reading. From the beginning to the end, sin's been bad, and it's been bad all the way due. And Jesus was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to conquer sin in the flesh, and that's what he come and done. In our lives, he come to give us a life free from sin, and sin is the bad thing, and it's a zero tolerance, and it always has been. For us to strive to live that way, and by the grace of God, is the only thing. It's not of us. Yes, every one of us have sinned. That's true. Everybody has. But there is a victory in God, too, that overcomes those things in life, and that's what the scripture and what it's all about. In this place, it was a zero toleration. Now they got Achan, and you can read about it. Well, maybe I'll go ahead and read that part of it. That's about the 20, Joshua 7 and 24, I think. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. That seems pretty harsh. But understand why it was harsh. Had they of loved cursing. And love it is not in the scripture, when it talks of loving, it is not talking about the emotional side that you and I think of where you sit around with a warm, fuzzy feeling. That is not in the scripture. You can almost always look at it as appreciate and depreciate. Love and hate. To love something is to appreciate it, to value it. To hate something is to depreciate it and not value it. And they, if they valued the cursing, they would have been destroyed by it. They had to get rid of it. You say, this is harsh. I have to say to you, how was an oxen guilty? How was a donkey guilty? How was the sheep guilty? That's not what the Lord wanted to make the point of. The Lord wanted to make the point of it is when we love those elements and don't destroy it all, we're going to pay for it. It's like me canning up our green beans at home and then just cracking that seal a little and then putting it back in the cupboard. They'll immediately start corrupting, corroding, rottening till they won't be any good any longer. They're not preserved anymore. So the Lord wants to say to us, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Out of it is everything that you think about. Every reaction you have will be somewhere along the line affected by whether you chose the blessing or you chose the cursing. How you've kept your heart through it all. And there'll be times where people will come against you. And when you've kept your heart, there'll be the right issues come out of your heart. There'll be a right response come out of that heart. There'll be a right view come out of that heart rather than it being coming out corrupt. There's an element of corruption come there because I allowed something in my life that corrupted an element of my life. There's a scripture that says the kingdom of heaven is like
It's like a woman that puts the leaven in the meal until the whole lump is leavened. You know what God wants us to do with that leaven? Of the gospel? The whole lump. This is the way I understand that for my own life. I take that in, and then wherever you pinch it, you get the grace of God. It's got to go to the furthest extents. I had a man tell me one time, he was a devout Christian man. Well, I talked a lot about the Lord with him. He would mention the Lord, all of those things. But he was a businessman. He owned a coal mine operation. I worked for a surveyor that worked in the coal mine, and he was a coal mine owner. And he wasn't, I remember when he got converted, and he wasn't shy about telling you about his conversion and about the Lord. But I remember the day that he told me, he said, "I don't mix my religion and my business." And he was telling me about a guy that he was having some problems with. And he said, "I don't mix my religion and my business." And I don't think I told him anything, but I think I went away wondering, what kind of a religion do you have? This thing is supposed to be like leaven that leavens the whole lump. You're not to have a place in you. And if you do, I'm going to tell you something, if you do. And this man did, and I followed his life, and just exactly what happened is what ought to be predicted that happened. Wasn't long before he divorced his wife because his religion didn't go into his business and it didn't go into his marriage either. My religion, I don't mix my religion in my business, and I don't mix my religion in my marriage, and I don't really mix my religion with my dealing with my neighbors, and I don't mix my... What kind of religion you got? This ain't about mixing it with anything. This is about having the grace of God flow through us till it's to everything. I choose that. This day, I choose that. That's what I want in my life. I want the blessing in my life. I want to be able to, as much as possible, I want to be able to have the grace of God to win my persecutor if I can. I want the grace of God to win those that are around me if I can, in whatever means that I have to do it. I want the blessing on my life. I want to have my children as they grow up to be able to appreciate me. I want to be able to come to the end of this thing. And as Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I've kept the faith. I want to be able at the end of it to say, I believe it more now than I ever have in my life. I haven't lost anything in the process, and I never allowed the things that are cursed in this life. I never allowed them to get a hold of me. I don't want to love those things. I'm going to tell you, we are being bombarded by the things of this world. We live in a time that we are so prosperous. We have so much stuff. There is so much availability. Everybody in here, and I am so not technical, or the technological part of it is just, I'm not that. I into it a little bit, but I was amazed when I was at the altar, and young man said he was having some problems with some things that he was getting into on the internet, and I said, well, I tell you, one of the best securities against that is to secure your environment, where it, you know, those kind of places don't go. He pulls his phone out and said, I can do it right here. Really? That's what I was, yeah. Yes, really. There's no limitations now. And it's, that makes it tougher. But you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it. Because, and I started telling him, if you don't, can I make a prediction to you? What's going to start happening to you? If you don't, you're going to corrupt, brother. It's going to corrode into very special things and the precious things in your life. You're going to lose them. Because, as this scripture says, they loved cursing and cursing came. If you love it, you'll get your dose of it. You'll get more than you ever know, believe. It'll come on you like a whirlwind. It'll come on you and you'll say, where did that ever come from? Sin will take you farther than you'll ever want to go. The results of it are incredible. And you would say, I say it regularly, and I don't want to be cruel or not compassionate, but don't they love their children? They do that to their children? Wouldn't you just sacrifice it for your children? You'll do that for your children? He said to choose this day. I said before you, life and death, cursing and blessing. If you can't choose this, choose it. Choose this day for you and your children. Wouldn't you do it for your children? Where, how did it ever happen? Right there across from us. It's been several years ago now. No doubt they're grown up, but I remember the event because it was so heartrending. There was a family there. A man and he had a wife and he had two little boys and a little girl, and they were just cutest little things and pretty little things, and they got all crossroads with one another, and she took the little girl, I mean baby, she took the baby, it was a little girl, and took off to California, we live in West Virginia, and left the two little boys. And then after a while being in California, the word come back to the man, if you want your daughter, the mother says, if you want your daughter, come and get her, because I don't want her and I don't want to see her anymore. It was a baby. I say to this, if you can climb up a tree to look in a bird nest, and the mother bird will attack you, and you 1,000 times bigger, and the bird will try to fight you off. You can try to get into a number of things as den, and they'll fight at you when they're a hundredth of the size. You wouldn't want to fight a bear over a cub. And look at the way us humans are acting. Can you believe we've got to the place that it's okay to kill our little unborn children? What are we? And how did we get there? Are you numb yet to it? More and more, we're getting number to it. It's been around for a while now. People just have an abortion. Is that okay? Are we animals? Or worse than animals? How did we get there? I'm going to tell you how we got there. We chose the curse. People started loving the curse and going outside of what God made for them to be. And in order to do that, you have to have all these exceptions about it. Lord, have mercy on us. You pray for me. I want to stay away from the curse and choose the blessing.